Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee and Anna Mae, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ, provoke you to find your calling in the Lord, brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on a journey to reaching the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. So sit back, we hope you enjoy the podcast, and we pray it encourages and blesses you.
Hello and welcome to Crosstalk. Tonight we got a very special guest, Adam Johnston, and he's going to share with us. Good to have you, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome, Adam.
Same here, Adam.
Thank you.
Uncle Bill, take it away.
Well, here's the question. When and where did you get saved, and what brought you to the decision of making Jesus the Christ your Savior?
I had a deep fear of burning in hell.
That's good.
That's what's amen.
When originally, so it was, I think it was 1995 in LA, 95 or 96, and we went to, they had like a heaven or hell play in one of the churches there, country churches, and I was sitting next to Henry and Chrissy Woods, and I remember watching it and being horrified, like whenever the people would come out and took the people to hell. I never heard of such a thing. I knew there was a heaven and a hell, but it was horrifying. And at the end, they said, "Do you want to be a Christian?" Okay, yes. I'd like to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven. So that's where my heart was originally. And I don't know if I was actually saved and born again on that day, but whatever it was, it planted a seed in me. And Amen. And I remember growing up, and my brother and George Jr. and George Reed and Joey Watson, and we'll talk about this in a bit, but they were always serving God, and I looked up to them. So I emulated that. I tried to, read my Bible and try to copy them. And then when we finally got a church here in Phoenix, I more and more, tried to serve God. And then around 2006, I remember one day just sitting, reading scripture, and I felt, I still can't put it into words. It was like a supernatural experience with God. Amen. And I couldn't talk. I still can't talk about it, what happened. But I felt a deep conviction. The Holy Spirit convicted me on a lot of things. And from that day, that could have been when I was actually born again, because from that day, although I've done things since, we all fall short of the glory of God, but from that day, I repented of a lot of things, and I never looked at sin again in the same way. And that's when I finally decided to get baptized. That's when Charlie baptized me that year. And it was then I seen that, growing up the past 10 years before that in church or meetings, that I had a self-righteous attitude about other people. Like I would look down they don't want to come to church, not in a good way,
Amen.
So when I look back and I can see things like that, there's always major events in your life where God grabs a hold of you. And that's the main one that I can think of. But there's times after that too. And God, I believe, does that in your life. He'll grab you at times so you can look back and say, God is working in my life.
Amen. And praise God.
So that's, before I was, before that 1995 going to that meeting, I don't remember much of church growing up. Like we would go Christmas and New Year's.
Amen.
We were pretty sapless. So I didn't have it'll be a different podcast, but Tony was talking about, being growing up in church. We went sporadically, and just having that solid thing, and when we started going to church, it really makes a big difference.
Amen.
It's quite a difference from the other way.
You had a God moment. That's
absolutely
what I call them, God moments.
Yeah, no, I remember at that time I seen a movie, and it was called Amazing Grace. It was about the man that wrote the song, and it was the same thing. He was sitting, he wasn't in church, he was just sitting with his Bible, and he had like a like people that drink call it a moment of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of Luke chapter 15, when the man was sitting in the pig pen, it says, he come to his senses. That scripture mm-hmm. always pops up to me. And I pray that for other people, you know, that when you're praying for someone to get saved, I pray just for them to come to their senses, because he did it for me. So right. why can't he do it for another? So right. that's Amen. A great Amen. Thing to pray for other people. Yeah.
You're just a new creation in that's Christ.
Absolutely. Yes, I love all that glory said, to him.
I loved you said the word of God, because people don't realize how important that is.
Yeah.
And the word of God is what? Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing.
Absolutely.
And that day, it divided your flesh and the spirit. And God had that God moment with you.
Yeah.
Amen. So I'm going to ask you this one. Memorizing the Gospel of Mark. We were all pretty astounded with it.
Yeah.
What would you like to share about that?
Well, you know, when you make yourself available to God, and like this thing, like, you know, 10 years ago, if you would have told you that, you know, you'd be doing a thing that people can listen to on the phone around the world, you probably wouldn't believe it. But God works in mysterious ways, and
Amen.
Sometimes it's practical ways. Sometimes he'll tell you just, you know, go clean the toilets at the church.
Amen. And
I think we've all been there too. You know, we've done that, but
Amen.
Anyways, I was about 10 years ago, I was listening to a podcast, and the man was talking about memorizing scripture, and it's something I had struggled with my whole life. I've never been able to memorize one Bible verse. And he talked about a man who memorized the Sermon on the Mount. And I said, well, it was like the beginning of the year, and that's a good New Year's resolution. I'll try and memorize the Sermon on the Mount. And this was 2014, and it's 111 verses. And I said, like, in my head, I knew I couldn't do that. But anyways, I go through that year, and I start memorizing it, and I do one verse a day. And it took me, you know, over 3 or 4 months. And I had that in me. It was something I just kept to myself, because I know that it's something you use every day, you know, and something I struggle with too is meditating on God's word. Mm-hmm. And if you're repeating verses over and over again, that is meditating on it, because you're thinking about it. You're trying to keep it in your head and in your heart. So it was something that really blessed me. And then as time went on, I said, like, I think this is something I could bless others with. So
Amen.
So I thought of, you know, well, maybe I'll share that with people, the Sermon on the Mount. So I did, with a small, like, we had like a little Bible study at the time with friends, and I shared it with them, and we studied the Sermon on the Mount. It was a good thing, but I felt like something bigger would come from that. And so a couple of years later, I was looking at what to memorize, and I said, well, there was this man I like. I see his plays. He's a Christian actor, and he did the Gospel of Mark, the complete gospel, on stage. And at the time, I was just memorizing it. I really wasn't thinking of, you know, oh, I'm going to go rent a theater and fight the town. But as I started memorizing it, this time, instead of memorizing one verse a day, I was memorizing like 3 and 4 verses a day. And it was another supernatural experience. It was something I could feel God, like, was going to use this. So I said, whatever it is, God, you know, if it's your will for me to share this with churches or just with everybody in the town, I would be happy to do it. So anyways, it took me 18 months to memorize Mark. And at the end of it, I started, after it was memorized, I started trying to, like, make it into a play.
Right.
And I was trying to tell people, like, I remember you asking me, Anime, like, what is it? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you just reading the Bible up on stage? Like, no one understood it. And even my people, they were like, I don't know what you're doing, son. Like, what is it? What do I tell people to invite them? And I just said, it's a one-man play. And they were like, oh, okay. And I rented a theater, and we had it. It was the Saturday before Easter. It was the Holy Saturday, and we had it in the town, and it was lovely. And I remember you telling me, Anime, about my favorite part of it was in Gethsemane when I'm reciting Jesus praying. And every time, even now, I'm getting goosebumps right. and talking about it, where he would break down crying. And it, like, go, you think doing that every single day for 2 years, it would lose its, it got more and more powerful every time I recited it, because it was like you were there in the garden with him.
Amen.
And like you said, the word of God's alive and active. And the more time I spent, Mark, the more alive it came to me. And and being able to share that with people, like a couple months later, I went to Baltimore and did it in the church there. And she's gone on to be with the Lord. But Tissy Mackay, she come up and said the same thing about that. She wasn't here for that. She said, like, that just touched me, that part. And
it was incredible.
Yeah, well, it was incredible to be able to do it for people. And it's a, like a good memory, because I remember the first time I did it, I was all nervous. I was hiding behind a curtain like this before it started. My dad come back, and we had like a cordless mic, and it was on. We didn't know. And it's him. I'm so proud of you, son. I love you. And like maybe all blunders. I don't know what he said, but
more good memories.
But it was, yeah, it was something I shared with my dad. And then the next winter when we did it here in the church, it was something like, I don't, he helped out with it, and he was a part of it. It was something.
Amen.
I think it's the only thing me and my dad did together, like ministry-wise. Right. And it was that. And I,
it was good.
And thank God, like a couple years, even before that, I got the honor to baptize my dad, which usually it's the other way around, but I got to baptize my dad. And it's all things like that, like the supernatural experiences I'm talking about. That,
amen.
You know, you look back and you're very thankful for.
I remember talking to Charlie about it, and I've asked you, because I wear my mind and mouth and everything on my sleeve, you know. And I said to him, this is going to be lovely, but was he just going to read the word? Like, I was trying to figure it out.
Right.
But if you wouldn't have done it the way you did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the word. If someone just stood and read the word, it would bless you, because it does not come back void.
Yeah.
But the way you motioned through it.
Mm-hmm.
It visualized it,
yeah,
and it came alive,
yeah.
Amen.
Just like we read on the stage. And I started weeping at that one part,
yeah,
because it was, I couldn't believe what I said to Charlie in the car going home. I said, and then like you said, sometimes you gotta, you know, Adam, it's a good point, you gotta step out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my testimony's different. As a kid, when I bought my guitar, we didn't have churches, and everybody was purple. What are you gonna, but God had a plan down the road.
Yeah,
God had a plan with that, and he's not done with you, what he's doing. And
well, there's something that I, you know, I feel like I'm talking about myself, but the there's something very powerful about, you know, we read the Bible every week in church because, you know, your husband, he teaches it. But there's something powerful about, and it's not something you see a lot anymore, the Word of God being proclaimed. And that's what I thought, you know, in the best way that I could. It's just the way the early church did it, where they had, they didn't have, you know, lovely Bibles and leather like we did. They had to sit and listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's something that needs to be done every once in a while. Not every service, but like, I think the Word of God needs to be proclaimed where people listen to it. That's why I love, like on my phone, I love to listen. I like to read it too, but I like to listen every once in a while because it's good. Like the Bible says, hearing comes by the word of God.
Yes.
Faith comes by hearing. And I think that's another thing that why it was laid in my heart, you know, to do that. I think it's very important for it to be proclaimed to people and them to hear it. Because I remember when we did it in Baltimore, there was a bunch of wee boys up in the front, and they were just sitting. I was, you know, usually kids are restless, and it was an hour and a half long, and they actually just sat and stared.
Unreal.
Yeah, and it ain't nothing I did. It's because it really is. It's the Word of God.
It's the Word of God.
Yeah, it's interesting to anyone.
It's a body ministry.
Yeah.
Some people can sing beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can teach. Some can preach. But when we put it all together, it's the love of Christ coming forth and changing our lives. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, I remember when you done it, you sit in amazement watching somebody do that, how powerful it is. And I sat and looked at you, and I said, how much time must it took him I know one scripture I can quote after 50 years. But I said, how this man, I said, this young man, it's fabulous. I said, it blessed me abundantly.
Yeah.
And my Margaret was on clouds with it. She loved it.
And not everyone's called to memorize an entire book of the Bible. But if anything from it, I hope it encourages people to just take it serious to memorize just, you know, scriptures. You know what I mean? It can just be something small. But it stays with you.
That's why God has it. He don't waste your time for studying that. That's going to get people saved and healed and delivered.
Absolutely.
This is when you do this. That's what goes forth.
Yeah. Amen. That's power.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, the next question you answered already, so we're going to give you this one later. So we're going to go to Martha on that one because you already answered. No, you already answered it. Yes. How important is it?
Yeah. Yes, and I was looking at my next question, the next question for the 90s and the 2000s, that era, and you kind of spoke a lot about that too, the 2006 and the 95 in LA. But do you have anything else before we go to the next question you want to add about that time?
No, I remember we lived in LA all through the 90s, and then we moved here in 96. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anyone in town. I remember coming, and we went to the Peter Piper on Elliott and Alma School. You remember all the parties we used to have there? Mm-hmm. And I remember going, and I didn't know no one, and I remember I seen Dove. And I was like, oh, it's Dove. Well, at least I got Dove here. And anyways, that was it. I never moved again. We were here pretty much every year, except for a couple summers. And at that time, there was youth meetings in this town. That's all there really was, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was Joey Watson, George Reed, George Jr., and my brother Nevada. And I didn't go to them. I was still kind of, you know, in the house. I wasn't running with the crew or nothing. But just seeing them, like, step out, it was different because, like, I never encountered that before. And the only other time I'd seen, like, my family serving God was, like, when we lived in L.A., there was meetings. And I remember, like, my Uncle Adam emceeing a meeting one time, and I was just like, okay, but I never really paid attention to it. But always looked up to them. And it goes to show you that if you're serving God, like, even though they probably weren't looking the road at me, my older brother, you know what I mean? But I looked up to them. They were role models. And and then we started having the meetings here and then a church. And in the 2000s, it was like, it was the thing to do to go to the youth meeting. You know what I mean? Like it was, you were looked down upon if you miscalled it or didn't go. And that was great. You know what I mean? And we got to be used and do great things and, all sorts of ministries. I remember when we had that big revival, I think it was 2007. It's the first time I sang for the Lord. It was like a joy I've never felt before. Like, you know what I mean? And being able to serve that way. And that was all during that time I told you, 2006, where I started taking my faith seriously. And when you pray to God, it's a really dangerous prayer. But if you pray, like,
Amen.
I don't know what you want me to do, but I want to be available. And I remember one of your first podcasts, you were saying, like, we want people to come and say they want to be involved. And it's the truth. Like, there's always something to do at church.
Right.
And if you don't know what to do, just go ask somebody. Say, I want to help. I did it a month ago, and everybody's offered me everything. No,
I'll be used and abused.
Yes. No,
not say you want to do something in this church. You are going to.
Not only will the church answer it, but God will definitely answer it.
Amen.
And you'll be amazed at, like, all the things. I never thought I'd stand on stage and recite Mark. I never thought we'd be in movies and, you know, things
all
like that.
All that stuff, Amen. So Uncle Bill's going to ask you something.
How about the park and preach?
Yeah, so.
You've been outgoing that.
Tell us absolutely. We don't have it year-round, but at the church we have a thing called park and preach, and it's they have a trailer, and they take it, and it has a sound system with it, and they'll take it and go somewhere downtown and hook up the sound system, and they'll preach to people. And I've seen some amazing things. Anyways, what I think of it, though, is it's maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, the first time I went with your son.
Yep.
And I didn't really know your son. You know what I mean? I know them my whole life, but I never really spoke to him or anything. And I went with him, and he asked me to do one of them at like another time. And I got to preach the gospel to people, and people come down, and it was amazing.
Amen.
And anyways, as the more I went, we become like partners. Like you read in in one of the letters, he says, we're partners in the gospel. And for a good while there, we were like a team, me and Bill. And we still are. But like at that time, it was, and I look back on my life, and it really is, God always puts someone, if you're going to be in ministry, doing whatever, you know, preaching or music or just serving behind the scenes or doing Bible studies. He always gives you a partner, and he would do it with the disciples. He sent them two by two. And for a time it was Bill, for a time it was George Jr. We done a lot of things witnessing and stuff like that. And of course he gives you, if Lord willing, he gives you a spouse, a wife, and that's your ultimate partner to do stuff with. But
Amen.
Yeah.
Was that your first time preaching at Park and Preach?
Back in the day when I was in the crew, I did a few youth meetings.
Okay,
and then, Yeah,
good.
And then a few Sunday nights and stuff like that.
Good, so. Good, okay.
I was wondering. That's not my zone, though. I rather do other stuff, but yeah.
That was good.
But no, it's a great thing, and if you're ever here in town in Phoenix, it usually happens in the wintertime.
Absolutely.
They always find a place for you, and I want to share a story about it one time. We went down, it was like July, and it's me and Bill. That's it.
Yeah, right.
And we goes downtown, and Bill's preaching, and there's a woman in like about 20 feet away, and she's screaming at the top of her lungs, and she's saying terrible things, and Bill stops the meeting and starts praying on her and just saying, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
And the other man down there, his name's Danny, he was praying too. And I just think the woman's a bam. I never really encountered demonic things before. But the more I'm standing, the more I'm convinced. I'm a very skeptical person, too, that the woman is actually demon-possessed. And anyways, they pray and pray, and then she eventually just stops and, like, just kind of walks away. And I didn't think nothing of it, the rest of the week. And that was a Monday night. On the Thursday, Bill invited me to go speak down at the church that we had in downtown Phoenix. And I preaches a message, and a woman comes down, and I prays for her and talking to her. And then Bill walks over and says, "Do you know who this woman is?" I said, "No, I didn't even recognize her. It was the woman from a few nights before.
That's good.
But I sat and stared at the woman for 45 minutes praying over her, and sitting talking to her for 10 minutes, I didn't recognize it was the same woman. And she accepted the Lord, and she just had a whole different face. Like, there it was like God completely
her countenance changed.
Yeah. Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's the things that go on down there, and there's countless stories.
Yes.
And if you want to be involved, they're happy to have you.
Especially in July. The numbers get a little thin around July.
It dwindles.
It dwindles.
Yeah.
As a young man, a dad, a husband, and how important do you think it is to have your wife's support in your ministry and also in raising your children in the Word of God and teaching them about Jesus? How important is all that?
It's above everything else. Yeah, it's all about Jesus, and that's and I hope when I pass and my kids, get up to talk about me, that they can say that, and I know that I lack in a lot of areas, but I hope and pray that they can say, like, "Oh, he was all about Jesus."
Amen.
Just wanted people to to point people to him, because that's what it's all about. And if I had anything to say to anybody, it was just look to him, because he's our only hope, and he's so good and loving, and he takes care of you, and all you have to do is accept him into your life.
Amen.
Amen.
He'll do great things for you.
Amen.
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 Well, this is the time of the podcast. We asked you if you have anything personal on your heart you'd like to share.
Sure. Well, I'll be very brief, because I know I've been long, but just the past few years, me and my wife have both lost our dad. And she lost her dad suddenly, and my dad, he got sick and passed away, and it's they were both hard in their own separate ways. Amen. But thankfully, both of our dads knew the Lord.
Amen.
And like the Bible says, we don't mourn like the rest of the world. Yeah. And if I hadn't had God in my life before that, I'd be in a pretty bad mess right now. I mm-hmm. wouldn't be sitting
Amen.
In a church back room talking about God. I'd Amen. Be somewhere else.
Yeah.
And thankfully, me and my wife both knew God, and it was very hard, especially with her father, because it was sudden, you know, losing him and having to navigate that. But thankfully, God was with us every step of the
Amen.
Way.
And, God.
Amen. And,
praise God.
And yeah, and give us peace over Amen. That. And then Amen. if the only other thing I'd like to share is one of my favorite scriptures. So I want to share Matthew 6:25-34. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, mm-hmm. and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is sown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things.
Amen.
But seek first the kingdom of God
Amen,
and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, Amen. Do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd rather share his words than mine.
Well, I'd like to add that, because people can't see you, that you memorized that. You didn't read it out of a book.
Amen.
Not that you care about that, but
Praise
that
God.
Shows you. It's amazing.
Amen.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate you coming and doing this for us and supporting us.
Thank Amen. You for all the years of service, all you for blessing me and my family. We'd be lost without you, and Amen. Thank you for new life.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed it and was encouraged. Please follow us on Spotify for new episodes every week. If you download the Spotify app, which is free, it makes it much easier to find us. We'll be posting the link each week on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you grow in his word and spirit. God bless.